Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here on this Tuesday. John, I got to start by thanking you and say thanks for covering down on the show Friday. I was set up at the Governor's Cup golf tournament, and man, if I had to do the show and try to do interviews from the golf tournament, it doesn't work. I've done it before where I'm live on the radio, and then you got all these golfers out there, all these business folks, all these legislators, you got the governor. And if I'm talking on the radio, I can't be going out saying hi to different folks, finding out the scoop of what's going on, and then landing some of the interviews. So with you covering the show, A, it made the show fun, and then B, I was still able to get all my interviews done and whip some into the program on Friday. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, it was a great time. We had a great, you know, George Blacker came in, and he and I were just boom, 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 back like ping pong ball. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, George is great because he's got that, like, almost like a southern drawl, and I never thought of Kansas as being a southern state, but George just has that smooth southern style drawl, and then you come in with a whap right across the face of the woke left, and so I'll bet you guys just had a great time. Well, I want to just whap. I'm going to hit you with something random here. I don't even think you've seen this video yet, but this is a good random start for the show here this morning. Jeff Essman, former Montana lawmaker, a former chairman of the Montana GOP, he said this, ladies and gentlemen, our 51st state. There's a group called Rise of Alberta, at Rise of Alberta on X. They just shared this yesterday. Alberta's not angry. We are just done. Sky-high taxes, collapsing services, mass immigration. We have had enough. They shared this video of why they believe Alberta should leave Canada.
We could lead the world in energy, innovation, and freedom if we had our own country.
$7 to $9 for steak. Alberta needs to leave this country. When Alberta goes independent, we'd pay zero income tax in 5 years. Serious. That's like getting a raise overnight. Mass immigration is breaking the system, and that's why Alberta needs independence. We can build a system that works.
I'm done waiting. The second that independence petition drops, I'm signing it so I have a future.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that is the Why Alberta Should Leave Canada video. John, your reactions, your instant reaction.
Is that's the same reaction I think a lot of us were having during the Biden regime. There really was that instinct to say, you know what, if this was to continue another 4 years, we want out. We want to succeed. We want out of this madness. And truly, I mean, Canada's way, way worse. I mean, Carney, you know, Carney up there with his
little eyes. That's right. I almost forgot that guy's name. Yeah, what a train wreck. Man, no wonder people want to get out. Yeah, when it came to the whole secession debate, I was always like, you know what? We're the ones that love America. They should leave. Not us, right? Anyway, lots to talk about with John Jackson. We're taking your phone calls and more back right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, this was a big story last week. A couple of news outlets here in Montana, they did news stories about an internal memo within the Montana Democrat Party, legislative Democrats. It was like a chief of staff during the legislative session for the Montana Democrats wrote this big memo, which exposed the infighting within the Montana Democrat Party. You probably saw some of those news stories last week. But when I saw these news stories initially, I thought, okay, they're all reporting on this leaked memo. So where's the memo? Let all the people read the memo. Well, thankfully, because I was at the Governor's Cup chit-chatting with a whole bunch of folks, Democrats, Republicans, legislators, business leaders, etc., I got my hands on the leaked memo.
Nice.
I've got the whole tangible damages memo here. And I actually think the news reports missed the most interesting angle of the whole leaked memo. This, to me, if you ask me, this was a stunning admission from this key Democrat here in the Montana Democrat Party. At one point in this memo, they point out how a bill to ban foreign funding for ballot measures here in Montana would make it more difficult for Democrats to gain the financial backing necessary to run a successful initiative campaign. They put in print that they need foreign financiers to fund their ballot initiative campaigns here in Montana. And so they were so mad that Democrats could not block a bill to ban foreign funding of ballot initiatives. That is a stunning admission here. That is a massive scandal, if you ask me.
Well, no worries. No worries. I'm sure one of their hacks wearing robes out here will strike it down anyway. So, I mean, put the stopwatch on that, right?
Yeah, but that very bill, this was a great bill by Representative Braxton Mitchell, a great young man out of Columbia Falls. House Bill 818, I believe, is the number here. There were actually legislative Democrats actually voted to try to weaken and water down that bill. And there were a handful of Republicans, surprise.
Huh, wonder who that was.
Surprise. Yeah. That voted with the Democrats on that one. So they were able to amend it. Now, hopefully, I was chatting with the Commissioner of Political Practices, and he believes that there is still significant teeth to this legislation to block foreign funding of ballot initiatives. But it's just like, wow, what a stunning admission here, where the Democrats are admitting that they rely on foreign financiers like Hans-Jörg Wies, the corrupt Hillary Clinton backer who also has helped fund the American Prairie Reserve to kick ranchers off the land. The Democrats have supported these guys time and time again because it's the foreign financiers that are funding their campaigns.
Do you remember those maggots out here? Those maggots with their clipboards were out here trying to get us the ranked choice voting. What was that last year? They were around Montana like ants coming off an anthill. And you know every dang one of them was paid by this dark money, this foreign dark money coming in to come in here to Montana and change Montana's way of voting. And luckily, the voters were smart enough to see through it.
And John, you haven't even seen this memo yet, have you?
I have not.
Because what you just mentioned was the next bullet point in that very memo. After complaining about a ban on foreign financing of ballot initiatives, they then complain about another bill by Representative Mitchell because they say it burdens the activities of paid signature gatherers. Oh, those poor paid signature gatherers.
Burdens them. How are they burdened?
They don't mind burdening farmers and ranchers. They don't mind burdening small business owners. They don't mind burdening you and I with higher taxes. But, oh, those poor paid signature gatherers, how will they ever survive, John?
You know what I did? I was going to, remember last year? I think it was a Fusion Fights they were having at the Metro.
And, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the steps up from the big parking lot up there? I was going in. I see this guy with one of these clipboard maggots. He's up there. He approaches this big crew of people, and they just totally blow him off. And I hear what he says to them. It's the rank choice voting. And so I said real loud, I said, you know what, pal, take that rank choice voting crapola somewhere else. And man, I mean, he was like, oh, and everybody around it heard it. They're like, no, I didn't see anybody sign that thing.
I was going to say, because at, you know, at a mixed martial arts fight is, you know, not the place you're going to get a little pushy with people because you'll get pushback, right?
Did you ever hear one of them do their spiel? They're lying. They're lying to just people. Joe Average out there telling them this is a better way to vote, makes things more fair. And all this. Their pitch sounds really good, and it's a lie.
Speaking of lying, man, great guest opinion column by our friend Jake Eaton. They got published, I think, in the Billings Gazette just a couple of days ago here. He is calling out this far-left Judge Amy Eddy, who's running for Montana Supreme Court. He says Judge Eddy should be honest about her partisan past. I want to get to that one here in a second. But this also ties back into this leaked internal memo from the Montana Democrat Party. There's a huge section jeopardizing citizens' initiatives. And in this, they talk about why they, as Democrats, believe that this is an existential threat. They have to prevent judicial candidates from running with party affiliation. In other words, they have to hide information from the voters in order to continue to own the judicial branch in Montana.
Oh, they have to lie. Did you see that gal, Catherine Mayer, I think is her name, that runs NPR? She was out on a famous speech, it's been about a year ago, when she gets up and says on camera to an entire audience out there, really, just the truth. We just have to, we can't really use the truth anymore like we think we can. We just have to tell people what they need to know right now. I mean, they just flat out admit it. We can't tell people the truth about our agenda. It won't get us there.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk more about this great guest opinion column calling out Judge Amy Eddy and why she needs to be honest about her partisan past. That and more after this. Did you know?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so John, I am reading here from this internal memo written by a chief of staff for legislative Democrats in the Montana legislature. A citizen's initiative to enshrine the nonpartisanship of judicial races in the state constitution must pass on the next ballot, 2026, or Democrats and the left will face an existential threat. They added, quote, at every turn, the threat of partisan judges was used to beat Democrats into submission to the Republican governor, and as long as it remains available, Republicans will continue to use it to cudgel Democrats, thereby passing conservative policy and undoing liberal progress. So they are openly saying that they cannot allow a judicial candidate, a Supreme Court candidate, they cannot allow them to exercise their First Amendment rights and run with a party affiliation, because they believe that if there is party affiliation allowed in judicial races, they lose. In other words, they have to lie about who they are, they have to hide who they are and what they truly believe in order to try to dupe the Montana voters so they can stay in control, so they can stay in power, and then abuse their positions of power as judges or as Supreme Court justices to overturn the will of the people at every turn they want.
Oh, it's so funny how they know exactly that. And you've seen it ever since Governor Gianforte came into office. That's where they knew, because we already have a red legislature. Now with a red governor, they know actual conservative bills are going to get passed. And so what do they have to do? That means activate all super friends, activate. You know, this is the super judges out there, activate. So they know they are the last stop. They completely become 100% leftist activists.
And so then now let's go back around again here in this same memo. Those two quotes that I just shared are right before they then complain in the memo about Representative Braxton Mitchell's bill to ban foreign funding for ballot measures. So the Democrats are saying, hey, we need to control the Supreme Court. We need to control the courts. The only way we control the courts is by lying about who we are and hiding who we are. And so that's why we can't allow party affiliation to enter into the equation at all here. And so what are the Democrats now doing? I think, John, I think you guys talked about this last week while you were covering down for me here. Supporters submit proposed ballot measure to enshrine Montana judicial elections as nonpartisan. So they want to use foreign money to fund their ballot initiatives. What is the ballot initiative that they're working on right now? To not allow for partisan affiliation in judicial races, which the Democrats are saying is the existential threat that they would lose the courts over. So, I mean, does it get any more corrupt and obvious than this, right?
They not only want to keep it that way, they want that subject off the table. That's why they want to pass this ballot initiative. They don't want you to ever even be able to talk about it anymore. They say that flat out in that memo, what you read to me a second ago.
Yeah. Now, I fundamentally believe that it is a violation of the First Amendment, and you know, a violation of not only free speech, but also your freedom of association. I think, you know, not allowing, you know, somebody to run with a party affiliation could be challenged already as it is. But anyway, but now let's takes us now to the very fact. So they want to use foreign funding for ballot initiatives. What's the ballot initiative that they're pressing right now? Not allowing partisan affiliation in judicial races, because they want the ability to lie to you. They want the ability to say, oh, you know, it's like, John, remember the old Prospector commercials? Well, I'm just old Whippy Skippy Montanan, old whistle zippers. It's like, you know, they come up with these stupid hokey campaign commercials so they can just pretend to be old rural Montanans, and they're a bunch of far-left activists. This Judge Amy Eddy, here's what Jake Eaton had to say, conservative political consultant, in his guest opinion column for the Billings Gazette. He says the Montanans have a long and proud tradition of insisting that judges serve the law, not political parties, special interests, or ideological causes. But if we want that system to actually mean something, we need more than rules on paper. We need judicial candidates who are honest with voters, especially about their own political histories. Judge Amy Eddy, a candidate for the Montana Supreme Court, used her recent guest view column to claim that she is running a truly nonpartisan campaign. Yet the public record tells a different story. She has contributed thousands of dollars to Democrat candidates and causes over the years, including Hillary Clinton, John Tester, Steve Bullock, along with the Montana Democrat Party and the National Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee. That is not the record of someone who is politically neutral. It is the financial behavior of a committed partisan. In other words, she is lying to the people of Montana, and they're going to try to pass this ballot initiative in order to try to keep her true viewpoints hidden from the people of Montana.
Well, your old Prospector thing is dead on. We've been doing that joke for years here on your show. We always laugh about it. But you saw John Tester. That was his whole shtick, man. His whole shtick was the old Prospector, just an old good old dirt farmer from Big Sandy. Look at now, Bittigieri, the judge that just got elected, right? What, if you saw her billboards, what was that? I'm a third, fourth generation Montana rancher, blah, blah, blah. Always watch out for that. Always watch out for the old Prospector game, because that is almost pulled, I'd say, 90% by Democrats.
Let's see. Yeah, and then he has some other great lines. It really is a must-read guest opinion column here. He says there's nothing inherently wrong with having political views or even donating to candidates, but pretending to be above politics while having spent years bankrolling partisan campaigns is intellectually dishonest, and it's a disservice to Montana voters. And he also points out the real history of the Copper Kings and their influence in Montana. He says the modern-day equivalent of Copper King influence now takes the form of a well-funded network of liberal dark money nonprofits, which I would add includes foreign financiers like Hans-Jörg Wiese, who is also funding the American Prairie Reserve to kick the ranchers off the land. And again, this ties right back in. The Democrats claim that they're the ones concerned about the Copper Kings. Heck, it was the Democrats who were involved in the original Copper Kings scandal. And their Copper Kings today are the Hans-Jörg Wieses and these other far-left activists that are funding all. They're openly admitting in this memo that they need foreign financing of their campaigns in order to be successful in Montana.
Well, we've been saying this for now a year out there. What should be the priorities out there of the Donald Trump and Pam Bondi DOJ? Of course, you've got the COVID criminals and the border and the stolen election. But I tell you, Aaron, top five out there is what you just keyed on it right there, is the outright abuse and criminal fraud of hundreds of billions of dollars of our tax money floating out there to these NGOs that then use them for far-left causes. You know, Aaron, all of them are committing, I mean, massive, sustained conspiracy and fraud every day of the week.
And then who provides slanted coverage in their favor, the very fake news websites that get their funding from Democrat mega donors as well. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious what's going on here. All right. Speaking of the Russia hoax and all these other coup attempts against President Trump, what's the latest news on that front? Aren't a whole bunch of folks getting hauled before Congress here? I know you showed me the post on X earlier.
Yeah, it's actually regarding the Epstein thing. And the House has now come out that they are requiring via subpoena. And it's going to start here August, and it goes through November. You're talking it's Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I mean, everybody just go down the line. I had the list right here. Stand by. I'll pull it up. It's all the big shots that you can think of out there in Democrat politics are getting hauled in front of these committees. Hey, here it is. Let's see. You got Hillary, Bill, Merrick Garland, James Comey, Bill Barr, Alberto Gonzalez, Jeff Sessions, Bob Mueller, Loretta Lynch, and Eric Holder.
Man, that's a lot of pleading the fifths going on right there.
Oh, boy. Fifth.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, the other big story I wanted to get to here. I don't know if it's big. Yeah, it's a big story. The other story that I wanted to get to here this morning with John Jackson. And by the way, the phone lines are open for you as well. 406-294-0970. Oh, I see we got some app messages coming in here that I need to get to as well. But the Green New Deal and wind farms in eastern Montana. Let's see, where do we start? Let me start with this. Rick Holden, former state senator out of Glendive, farmer rancher in eastern Montana as well. He's been speaking out. So many folks in eastern Montana have been speaking out. They don't want these big, ugly wind farms destroying big sky country, right? But look at this chart, John. This was from a liberal Montana Free Press article, but it's a pretty good write-up here, seems like, overall. He has a great chart that he held up at a recent meeting here showing the size of this wind turbine, taller than the Seattle Space Needle, almost twice as tall as the statue, actually over twice as tall as the Statue of Liberty, and then definitely twice as tall as the tallest building in the state of Montana. That chart, that symbol, man, that's really powerful, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Did you see the clip? Were you watching Landman, first season of Landman last year?
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton had it. You know, he's an oil guy down there in Texas. He had a great line about that. He was telling this guy, look, do you think if these things actually worked, if they produced this huge amount of energy, you don't think the oil companies would be investing billions of dollars in these things?
Exactly.
Not to mention the fact that the entire thing is made out of petroleum products.
Well, we got to head to a break. If Billy Bob Thornton were here right now, he'd be outside smoking cigarettes. Yeah, got to go back to Midland. All right. Well, you don't have time. It's a quick break, and then we'll be back right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The company that has built its brand by calling plants meat may soon be rebranding itself. Beyond Meat is reportedly planning to drop meat from its corporate name as sales continue to fall and criticism grows louder for the alternative protein company. In an interview with Fast Company, Beyond Meat CEO Ethan Brown said the company is shifting focus from imitating meat to highlighting plant-based proteins for what they are. But that move may have come from increased pressure on the Food and Drug Administration to toughen up guidance for fake meat companies that will prevent them from using misleading labels on plant-based products. Recently, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association submitted formal comments to the FDA, urging tougher guidance to stop plant-based companies from using terms like meat and imagery of cattle or ranchers. NCBA President Nebraska Cattleman Buck Werbein said, quote, if you're manufacturing products to replace beef that contain no real meat, you should not be using terms that are specific to livestock. He added, these companies shouldn't be allowed to trade on beef's good name. Meanwhile, Beyond Meat posted a $52.9 million loss in Q1 of 2025. U.S. sales continue to slide. Its stock is now trading just above $3 a share, down more than 50% this year from highs of over $100 a share just 5 years ago. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Summer travels in Flint. Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
right. Oh, I think we're ready to roll here. I didn't hear the voice yet, so I'll just talk over them. All right, we got the music. Jonna, you and I are too busy chatting during the breaks here. John, before I get to our next caller on the phone lines, anything else you wanted to share since we got cut off by that break there? And, you know, but Landman, yeah, I'm with you. I can't wait for season two. That was it was like the Yellowstone of Texas, basically the Yellowstone for oil country.
Well, it's the same guy, same producer.
Yeah, Taylor Sheridan. Yeah,
Taylor Sheridan, same guy. But I thought was really a good point yesterday. You had this Democrat congresswoman by the name of Delia Ramirez in some kind of appearance down in Mexico City told the whole crowd in Spanish that she was a proud Guatemalan before being an American. And it meant everybody seized on that right away. It's like, yeah, we already knew that a lot of y'all out there, foreign-born, are not loyal to the United States first. And, you know, thanks for the confession there.
On the Democrat side of the aisle, now, of course, most of the, you know, legal immigrants who've escaped communist countries, they love America. And when they swore that oath in allegiance to the United States of America, they believe it, right, through their bones. But yeah, I was gonna play the audio for you and see if you could be my terp on this one. You know, in Afghanistan, we called him the Tajiman. That was the interpreter. Or actually, well, we'd call him Terp or whatever fake name we came up with for the interpreters. But when the Afghan dudes would want to say something to our interpreter, they would go, Tajiman! Tajiman sab! And then they'd wave him over. So, John, you're our interpreter on this one. Primero. Okay, so first, she is loyal to Guatemala first, then America. Now, she'll try to explain it away, I imagine, by saying, well, I was actually saying that first I was Guatemalan and then I was American, but we all know what she's saying here.
Exactly, and that's how she will come back and say, no, I meant since I was Guatemalan born, I was proud of that first. That's what she's going to explain it away as. But like you just said, we all know what she means, and the audience clearly know what she means because they give her a clap.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. We've got Chris in Bozeman. Chris, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. With this manhunt going on over in Anaconda, trying to find this guy, where are the bloodhounds? I mean, being a bird hunter, dog person, it's amazing how the law enforcement agencies in the state, we don't have like one dog on hire or on the team that can be deployed to the scene and track them down and find them. That's what I wanted to say.
Interesting. So I know they've got canines out there. I'm assuming they have canines that are specializing in tracking down people that need to be found. I guess, are they technically bloodhounds or are they not the type of dogs that are good at finding people? Chris, any thoughts on that?
Well, it's amazing when you watch programs where the bloodhounds have been put out at exits on the highway, and the bloodhound takes the exit or it goes by the exit, they take it to the next exit, the bloodhound takes that exit and then goes down the road and they find the children or whoever's been taken. And you know, it just seems like that would be an easy way to, it's just amazing that we don't have them. That's what I wanted to make the comment.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, John, I guess that particular question, I was able to catch up with Attorney General Austin Knutson yesterday. I know that they do have canines out assisting in the search for this suspect in the shooting at the Owl Bar, you know, killing four innocent people. But I guess I don't know if they're technically bloodhounds out there or what kind of specialty they might have, et cetera. So, yeah, interesting question.
That is important. I've never actually used any kind of hounds that are out there to man track. You know, I've used the standard police military canines that look at their protection. They do drugs. They do guns. They do all that kind of thing. I don't know how long a police canine could stay on a trail like that. You know, bloodhounds will stay on a trail for a long, long time. But your police canines, I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to go back to this wind energy, you know, this wind farm story in eastern Montana. The bottom line is the headline is this. The headline reads this: political headwinds turn against wind farms in southeast Montana. Plus, John, remember when the Green New Deal was all the rage? Democrats were always talking about the Green New Deal, green energy, green this, green that. I think even you might be surprised at how little the Democrats even mention the term anymore.
Well, yeah, because they got their money. I heard it's close to $1 trillion in subsidies. That, it's important to notice that in the big, beautiful bill, they only whacked out half of them, and that's only going to happen, you know, in big quotes, 4 years from now, which means it's not ever going to happen. But, I mean, you really see it. The whole thing is kind of going, you know, the whole push for it. It's because even though the money's out there, the government's not out there pushing it anymore.
Well, as I understand it, in the one big, beautiful bill, the Trump administration didn't, and I may be mistaken on this, but as I understand it, they didn't want to stop a project that was currently under construction that was already getting up and going because they figured, okay, we're not just going to cut this off mid-stride, but anything that has not gotten up and in running in the construction phase yet, that's the Green New Deal stuff that they killed. But yeah, Stephen Moore in the Unleash Prosperity hotline has this: Green New Deal was once all the rage, now it's passé. Over the past 3 months, liberals in Congress mentioned the Green New Deal only 6 times in their social media and in floor statements. During the same period, conservatives couldn't talk about it enough. They mentioned Green New Deal 337 times, universally condemning it as an expensive elitist scam on the taxpayer. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, they've had it. They don't want these wind farms destroying their big sky view in big sky country, Montana.
And what you just mentioned there, that's a weakness, and it's probably intentional on the part of Republicans. I'll give you an example. When Joe Biden came in, did they give a good GD about all of these, the old projects that were going on out here? Oh, no. They sent out the order, and the next day, you're picking up your lunch pail, and you're out of a job. They do not care. They stop that stuff right in its tracks. It's only Republicans that think, oh, gee whiz, should we all this, that, and the other thing? You know, should we continue with Democrats, obviously, agenda items with this clean energy crap? No. See, you have to be as cold-hearted and as dedicated as they are. It's on day one, it's over.
And isn't it interesting that some of the same liberals in Bozeman that don't want, you know, buildings to be taller than a certain height have no problem telling the people in Glendive, yeah, but you got to take all these wind turbines that are taller than the Seattle Space Needle and everything, right? not in my downtown, but yeah, on your ranch, your farm, you know, who cares about you anyways, the way they look at it. Hey, next up on the phone lines, let's go to Tanner in Lakeside. Tanner, thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts this morning?
Great show as usual, Aaron and John. I just wanted to have you guys again kind of get over the right target. When it comes to the Montana Supreme Court, you know, they will never self-regulate themselves. The same way our federal congressmen will never do term limits, the Montana Supreme Court will never, they'll block all good, you know, judicial reform. So we need to put the onus on our executive branch, being Greg Gianforte, Austin Knutson, and Christy Jacobson, to enforce these laws. Because I just want to remind your listeners that the Supreme Court and the judges, they just issue opinions. They have no law enforcement mechanism. So we need to put pressure on our elected Republicans to say, no, we're going to do this. This is what we're doing. Thank you for your opinion and move on with this, because we're just wasting time, because they're going to strike down these laws continually. So that's my two cents.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Well, that's also fundamentally why we need why conservatives need to just raise as much money as they can and get behind Supreme Court candidates like Judge Dan Wilson. And so often conservatives will not get involved in judicial races like they really should. So that's got to happen. John, your thoughts?
I didn't understand that. Is that the point, is that you just defy whatever comes out of them? Is that the point there? I mean, yeah, I've seen some of that now coming out of these federal judges out here with these lawsuits against President Trump. You've seen them, particularly since some of these SCOTUS decisions now. They come right back and just actively defy the SCOTUS, telling Trump to do a thing. Now, that's a position where the Trump administration just say no. Defying the Supreme Court.
And the Trump team's been really smart about not outright defying these orders, and I think that's helped get better rulings out of the United States Supreme Court as well. Now, I would say, though, that actually the Gianforte administration, remember the whole transgender birth certificates thing? Hmm. They did actually basically say thanks but no thanks on some of those judicial rulings where these judges said, oh, no, you will do the transgender birth certificates. And so the Gianforte administration said, okay, we will comply with your order. And then they went through a new process. And then they basically figured out a different way to do what Montanans wanted. And then the courts got all, you know, the liberals got all mad and they got all in the huff and puff. So I think the Gianforte administration has been smart about how they've been doing it. Now, with regard to the comment about term limits, Congress did actually pass term limits. Remember when the Republicans did it in the 90s and the courts shot that one down? So Republicans have actually delivered on that before. Yeah, and I think would again. Hi.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Craving some
good day. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Man, if I got time, Jesse Waters was talking about, you know, the left attacking Sydney Sweeney, calling her a Nazi, calling her a fascist because she's a beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman in a beautiful blue jeans commercial. Anyway, Jesse Waters had a great line about that. Johnny Joey Jones, if you know him, he's the great Marine Corps veteran who lost both of his legs in Afghanistan, who's on Fox News. Johnny was joking around on The Five yesterday. He says, you know, as a straight white male, I'm just glad that I'm not the, you know, I'm not the evil guy for a little while, that it's a blonde-haired white woman that's evil for a change, because it's always the white guy, the straight white guys, we're the evil ones.
You know what gets me about this, because I see it so much on X, is, you know, this whole thing started with this Sydney Sweeney ad. This started in some nobody nowhere. Nobody looks at this website, bunch of radicals. They put up some article, and like three purple-haired idiots out here said something about Sydney Sweeney. But then our side, we're the ones that take this bait like a giant catfish. We pick it up and run with it and give it 10 times the amount of publicity that these people ever would have gotten on their own. That's the kind of stuff we need to stop doing.
Well, I don't know. There were some high-profile Democrats that were making a big deal out of it. And to me, it is worth exposing, because we need to expose their woke ideology at every turn, because they are not going. This Democrat Party memo that, again, has a massive chunk on the transgender stuff. And so they know that they got their butts kicked on the issue last November, but they want to transform this country into something else. They want to change the culture. So elections be damned. They're going to continue pushing this radical agenda. All right, before I get to the caller, since we're on the topic already, here's what Jesse Waters had to say.
I don't see it working. They've called a blonde-haired, blue-eyed actress a Nazi for a week. And this is a Madison Avenue campaign thing that they've done since the 80s, the play on words with jeans. Mm-hmm. They've done it with brown-eyed girls, blacks, and blondes. And so Trump, who is in the culture because he watches TV all the time, seizes on this, champions this great American clothing company, and the Democrats lose another culture war battle. They are winless in the culture war over the last couple of years. They're like, Dana, the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, they're the worst.
Politics. And so my question is, why are Democrats so obsessed with Nazis? Everything is Nazis. So when I hear someone has good genes, I think hot parents. I don't think Hitler. They think Hitler.
Oh, Jesse Waters has been doing a great job. All right, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got John calling in from the Flathead. Hey, John, what's going on?
Well, I'm having a great day up in the Flathead. However, you were talking about the NCSL in regards to educating legislators, and I will tell you, NCSL is a communist organization, and those individuals are nothing but a bunch of pinheads, and they push stupid policy from the nonprofit organizations that are involved in it. If you take a look at the American Legislative Exchange Council, that's set up by private businesses, private enterprise, individuals that are good conservative Republicans for the most part, but it's very consistent of Democrats and Republicans that actually want to make thoughtful change within the state legislatures around the country. And the NCSL is just absolute. Their stuff that comes out is nothing but hardcore leftist propaganda and crap that they push upon all the states within
Interesting.
America.
That happens with a lot of these national associations. They push, like, the National Association of whatever. We wonder why, you know, teachers or industry people come back from these national conferences with just the woke, most absurd stuff you'll ever hear. Although, hey, John Sinrud, former legislator here in Montana, I understand Montana's own Barry Usher is about to take over the reins at the NCSL, so maybe he can push it in a good direction.
Well, if he's going to do that, then that's a great thing to put conservative principles and values within that. But what they do is they push model legislation. And just because he's ahead of it doesn't mean that he controls the vote or allows, not allows, but gets good legislation in there, because it's also voted on by the members of it.
That's right.
And the states are the ones that pay NCSL and all of their propaganda and crap. I mean, I've been involved in that, and I know both sides of it, and I wouldn't take a freaking model bill from those people if I was paid.
But it's horrible. But also, actually, this brings up a good thought, though. Okay, so yes, a lot of, as I understand it, I've never been to NCSL myself, but a lot of Republican legislators, for the reasons you just laid out, typically would not go to these things like NCSL. But now that Republicans have a majority of the majority of legislatures around the country, if our people show up to the national things like this, now we can control the vote. Now we can turn those things in the right direction and have a broader influence across the country. Your thoughts?
Well, potentially. It all depends on the makeup and the participants within that organization.
That's right. All right. Hey, John Sinrud, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. John Jackson, great to see you as well.
Always fun.
20 seconds. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
Read my lips. No new taxes ever on anything.
Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it.
And then Ross Perot, you people.